We are going to be talking about the Great Commission as a married couple, or fulfilling the Great Commission as a married couple. And as we get into this, let me just ask you this question. Have you ever considered how God might use your marriage to further his kingdom? Your marriage to advance the gospel? How might God use your marriage to further his kingdom? And if we're honest, most people don't think about their marriage like that. Most people, particularly when they're single, they know that they don't want to be single. They know that. They know they want to marry a great Christian spouse. Maybe you're married and you know that you want to raise godly kids, or that one day you want to own a good home or have a great job. We understand some of those things, and we ask and answer some of those questions, but many of us don't think about how God might use your marriage to further his kingdom or to advance his kingdom, or win the lost. God has so much more for our marriages than just having a house or just having kids, which are great things, or having a good job. He wants to use your marriage to further his kingdom, to spread the gospel. You guys know this verse. We've banked our whole church on it, our lives on it. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" We are to be disciple makers for Christ. And many of us in our singleness understand that, but that still applies once we get married. It applies in every stage of our life. We are to fulfill the Great Commission. We are to be disciple makers of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:20. You know this verse. We are Christ's ambassadors, making an appeal to the lost world on God's behalf. Be reconciled to Jesus. That's what that means. That's what that verse says. As a married couple, we are Christ's ambassadors. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we are to be the fragrant aroma of Jesus. That doesn't just apply when you're single. That doesn't just apply as an individual. That applies to the oneness of your marriage. If you are married, your marriage is to be a fragrant aroma to the world of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission, our goal as Christ ones, Christ followers, is to be fruitful at every stage of life for Jesus. That's why the church was left on the earth. If that were not so, we'd become Christians and Jesus would just take us to heaven. But as we know, we go through different stages of life. And as Christians, we're to be faithful and Christ's ambassadors, a fragrant aroma, disciple makers, when we're single, when we're young, when we're in school, when we have a job, when we start courting somebody, when we get engaged, we're to be disciple makers. When we get married, we're to be disciple makers. When we raise kids, we're to be disciple makers. When our kids leave, we're to be disciple makers. When we're retired, we're to be the fragrant aroma. And every stage of life, we are to fulfill the Great Commission. That is the goal. That is the command. Go into all nations in every stage of our life. So you should ask yourself, how does the Great Commission apply to my marriage? Or if you're not married, how will it apply into that phase of life you are entering into? What should I know? Well, you should know this. Living for God gives a marriage purpose and preservation. Living for God gives your marriage purpose and preservation. And there is power in purpose. Power in the purpose of living for God and what he asks us to do. Because relationships will fade without purpose. God intended for our marriages to be rooted and focused on him. And whenever a couple is sidetracked, and maybe you know some, maybe you are one, certainly I've known many, a couple that gets sidetracked, that they become rooted in things instead of in God. that couple will either be exhausted trying to maintain some sort of joy, or they will fall apart. More often than not, when a couple is not focused on God, they become both. They just get tired and they fall apart. A real life example of this is I knew a couple, a Christian couple, that did not have their purpose rooted in Christ. Now, had they received Jesus as their Savior? Yes, it sure seemed like they did, but they did not focus their marriage. They didn't have a purpose in their marriage in Jesus. And eventually this couple, they divorced, they fell apart. And this is what the succession went like. They started dating, and it was all very exciting. And they would always talk about the exciting dates they would go on and all the cool things they did and the good food that they had and what was so exciting or romantic, but the dates weren't enough. And so then this couple, they got engaged, and it was all about the engagement and all about what the women were going to wear and what the dudes were going to wear and what songs were going to be played and who was going to marry them and where they were going to get married and what food they were going to serve at the wedding and what kind of things were going to go on for the party and who was going to give the toast. And they planned a $40,000 wedding. And it wasn't enough. So then they got married, and that wasn't enough. And so they bought a cool house. And they couldn't afford the house, but it was always the house that they wanted to have in the dream neighborhood. They've always thought about being in this house, and they just knew if they could have that house, then that would really help their marriage. But that wasn't enough. So they did the next thing. Well, house isn't enough, so we should do? We should buy a car. Let's buy a car. So they bought a car, and then that was enough. And they bought another car, and that wasn't enough. And so they did the next logical thing. They bought a dog. That's awesome. Because the dog is going to keep you together. You're going to go to the park, and that's where you're going to walk the dog. You're going to train the dog, and you're going to read books about the dog. And that wasn't enough. And so then they had a child, and she wasn't enough. And you guys get the picture. They were always looking for the next exciting thing to hold them together. But things fade. Even kids, as amazing as they are, and they are, kids were never given to be a glue to hold a marriage together. That's not why kids were given. They're not the glue that holds a marriage together. Think about this, because what I'm going to share with you next is super profound. The only relationships that are supposed to get closer and closer in oneness and in intimacy for your entire life, the only relationships that are to grow in oneness and grow in intimacy for your entire life are your relationships with Jesus and your relationship with your spouse. Those are the only relationships that were made to continue until you die, and then with Jesus thereafter. Because even your kids, that relationship, that oneness changes. Your kids become more independent and they stand accountable before the Lord on their own, and your friendships change and your roommates change, and every relationship you have changes, and it can't further in intimacy. It can't further in oneness. All of them are designed to change, but those with God and those with your spouse, those are the only ones that can get deeper and deeper in oneness. Think about that. And the only way for that to happen is for your marriage to have a purpose that is bigger than the individual, because there's power in a purpose-filled marriage. And so God is so kind to us because he gives us the Great Commission. It's an eternal purpose. Now, there's lots of examples I can give of this, a lot of things that I can talk about it, but again, I'm just going to share from my own life. How do Kim and I fulfill the Great Commission as a team? How does that give us purpose? Well, one of the easiest things we have ever done to be Great Commission focused as a married couple is what we just did this last Christmas. Super easy. For those of you that come to the church, you know what we did. The Rock Music recorded a Christmas album. We made download cards to give it away for free. The church made Christmas cards with a gospel presentation on it. And so Kim and I, we bought a ton of these cards, got a ton of the download cards, stuck it inside of the gospel Christmas card, and we counted every house on both sides of our street so Kim could bake cookies for them and we can deliver these cards and these cookies. And so for days, Kim baked all of these cookies because I'm a terrible cook. I would burn them all. She did it. We made plates of it, and I picked the snowiest day of the week. I grabbed my kids. We put on Santa hats. It was pretty cute, not going to lie. And we went and knocked on every door and handed them a plate of cookies that my wife had made, and with a gospel presentation and free music in the cart. And we just said, hey, you may not know us. We're at 2544. We just wanted to say hi. We hope you're having a Merry Christmas. We're putting on a concert, a Christmas concert at our church. You're free to come. If you want to know what that music's like, just check it out. It's free for you. And my wife, she's at home with our baby right now, but she baked these cookies. So easy. Gospel, boom, 20 people. Great Commission focused. Another easy thing to do is what we just recently did in November. Many of you were part of that. The Billy Graham night. Billy Graham night, where we did that My Hope for America. Such an easy thing to invite people into our home. It can kind of push our flesh. It was a little hard to do. We can get insecure, but we prayed for months for our neighbors. Who are we going to invite? Let's invite this person and that person. And at dinner table, let's be praying for this person. And we're just going to grab a TV. We're going to put it in our front room. We're going to invite everybody to come over to our house. We're going to order a bunch of pizzas. We're going to ask them to bring salads so that they're involved in it. We're going to show the Billy Graham thing. And I'm just going to say, hey, that's part of my life. And so we did that. 17 unsaved people came to our home. I played the video. We all saw it. We ate some pizza. I said, hey, you guys have been so kind to invite us to your church. My wife and I and my kids, we just wanted to tell you what we're about. We believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins. And you guys saw it? That Billy Graham, he changed my life. What he believes is the same thing that we believe. If you have any questions about that, Kim and I, we would love to talk to you about it. We're going to be doing life here for the next 20 years, so we'll be around. Such an easy thing to do. Great Commission focused. It pushed Kim and I's marriage to pray, to invite people into our home. Another easy thing to do, to stay Great Commission focused, have people come to your house for dinner. What an easy thing to do. Just make one of the free nights that you have in the week be a people night. Maybe you're not that routine. You're not so engineer-like or something, but say one of the free nights that we have that we can invite people come over for dinner. And maybe that's people from the church. Maybe that's lost people. Kim and I, even tomorrow, we have people that don't know Jesus coming to our house for dinner. They just had a baby. They know that their eyes are wide open. The world has been rocked, and we want them to come over to our house. We're making food for them. We can't wait to hang out with them. It's going to be really casual, really easy. Have a couple of beers, eat some food. This is our life. We love Jesus. These are our kids. We love Jesus. We're really happy that you're here. Great Commission focused. We must have a purpose in our marriage that is bigger than us as individuals to ensure that our marriage will survive. Okay? There's power and purpose. Great Commission is an eternal purpose. This one goes without saying. It also blesses and rewards your marriage. And I could talk about this forever, but your faith in God and intimacy with Him increases. That's your blessing and reward beyond the eternal blessings. Think about that. You become more dependent on God as a married couple, more intimate with God as a married couple. And that is, He's the source of joy, of life, of faith, of peace, of everything. And when your marriage gets locked into the author of all that is good, your marriage grows. Your marriage is blessed. Your marriage is rewarded. And not just that, there's a real hell. There's a real heaven. That is real. That day is coming where everybody will stand before God, where their destiny for eternity will be determined upon whether or not they receive Jesus or not. And you and I in our married life have the ability, the privilege to use our time on earth to impact eternity for your neighbor or your friend. And we don't understand that, and I understand that. We don't get the depth of that, but that is real. There's going to come a time where Jesus is going to look at us and say, this is how you did this. This is what this dinner did. This is what this Billy Graham night did. This is what this card did. This is what your faith did. Living for God gives purpose, gives preservation. So how do we do it? Lots of ways to do this. This is very practical. Well, the first thing is you need to stay committed to the Great Commission. Stay Great Commission focused. That's part of it. Getting on the same page. That you go, guys, our marriage is going to be more than just each other. It's going to be about Jesus. Jesus, you and me. That's how it's going to work. We're going to be Great Commission focused. We want to use our marriage to impact other people. And so learn how to share the gospel with each other. That's a really easy thing to do, particularly if you don't have any kids. Take the diagram outreach class. Learn that. Learn how to go through the gospel to one another. Get the bridge diagram pamphlet. Look at that together. Understand the wholeness of the gospel. Know how to tell people about God and sin and judgment and heaven and Jesus and life and death. Learn how to do that. Watch the diagram DVD. If you haven't, I'm awesome in it. Long hair. I've got jewelry. I look like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. That's really funny in my head, not so funny here. Watch that. It's a great presentation of the power of the gospel. It's an easy thing for you guys to do, to learn about the gospel, to learn how to outreach to other people. Neighborhood evangelism. I already shared this a little bit. One of the easiest ways as a married couple to win your neighbors, honestly, is just to do life in the front yard. That sounds kind of silly, especially in the summer and the spring, but just open up the door and on a Saturday or whatever, put some lawn chairs out there and hang out. Right? Just rake the leaves or do lawn stuff together. Bring in their garbages. Let your kids play out in front. Say hi to your neighbor. Don't just put your head down. Ask them about their day. Rake their leaves. Do life. Neighborhood evangelism. Think about your neighbors. Think about what they're doing. Think about how you can serve them. Just being a friendly face. How can your wife serve them? How can you as a married couple serve them? What are things that you can do together in your neighborhood? Raise a godly family. That'll come. If you don't have kids already, that will come. Proverbs talks about teaching a child how they should live. And again, kids are not given first and foremost so that they can be a witness to the world. That's not the primary reason God gives us kids, but that is part of it. That is part of it. That's why they're arrows in a warrior's hand. My kids are arrows for the kingdom of God. Teach them and train them. Involve them. I want to raise a godly family, an exciting family to the lost. You know, one of the easiest things that I do with our kids, Jet is going to be 5, and my daughter Liv is just turned 3. And so I've been able to teach them, even at that age, when we have new people come over to our house, we practiced. What do you say when you meet somebody new? Nice to meet you. Buddy, look at my eyeballs. Nice to meet you. Shake my hand really tight. Nice to meet you. Learn how to do that. And so when we have new people that come to the house, I'll have Jet stand right here and he'll say, nice to meet you. Come to my house. And it's really easy. And that just wins people over. This little kid, this little boy who knows how to look in the eyes, and my daughter who knows how to look in the eyes. And it's exciting to them. And ahead of time, when we have people that are coming over, I say, buddy, what 2 questions are you going to ask them tonight? Oh, I don't know. No. What 2 questions are you going to ask them tonight? What's your favorite superhero? Awesome question. What's your favorite princess? Asks Liv. Involve your family. It's a great way to be Great Commission focused. Show hospitality. Show hospitality. Again, think about it in terms of what's easy to do, because God has made it so easy for us. Even in your own neighborhood, you guys have extra food? Take the food to your neighbor's house. Do you have extra cookies? Take the cookies to the kids at the neighbor's house. It's so easy. We have a neighbor. Her name is Jean. She's 89 years old. She's a widow. Her son used to live with her, and he would do some stuff around the house, but he's recently moved with he and his wife to go to Mexico, and so she's kind of a shut-in. And she's all by herself, and she's slow going. And we make it a practice, my whole family, to show hospitality to her. So Kim often makes more food than is necessary to take to our neighbor. Or my kids will go over there, and I'll just put some toys on the ground, and I'll say, buddy, just play right here. Liv, just play right here, and we'll just visit with this neighbor who's 89 years old, because there's something about watching little kids when you're elderly. Just showing hospitality. Taking food to her, taking desserts to her. I've often just been, by the way, just doing life out in the front yard, on the phone in the front yard, smiling at people, waving in the front yard, and she'll come out slow moving, and I'll say, Jean, do you need help with something? And she'll say, I want to get to the hospital, but I can't drive. I'm driving you right now. I'll just take you to the hospital. Great Commission focus. Show hospitality. This is the easiest one. And honestly, to many people's shame, we just don't do it. As a married couple, be active in your small group, in your house church. Do this. It's pathetic if you're a Christian and you're in a church and you're not in a house church or a small group. It's pathetic. This is the easiest thing to do. Be involved in your small group. Be in community. Learn how to be inside of the church. Be active in it. Be a part of it. attend a mission trip as a married couple. Kim and I have gone on several mission trips together, even with kids, and that is hard to do, to leave our babies at home, to go for a week or two, to evangelize to people that need Jesus. But it has been some of the most monumental times in our marriage of focusing us on Christ. It's not about the kids. It's not about the money. It's not about the house. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus. It's not about each other. It's about Him. Let's remind ourselves of that and go on a mission trip. Do that. Serve the saints. Easy thing to do. Make meals when there's a new baby. Meal baby is a great tool that we have. When somebody gets sick, make meals for them. Call them. Make your marriage an example, a fragrant aroma of Christ. Talk about it with one another. How can we accomplish the Great Commission? And no, it is not duty. It is not duty. It is what keeps us together. It is what keeps us having purpose. It is the glue. Jesus is the glue. And what He commands us to do draws us together. It's not obligation. It's God's kindness to give us the Great Commission. So your homework this week, as a couple, share your faith with somebody. Now, I'm not saying that you have to sit down and share the whole presentation, but together, go to your neighbor's house or to your coworker's house or your friend's house that you've not shared your faith, and take a step of faith. Grab a tract, grab an invite card, grab free music, take a step of faith, share your faith. We want to just, you know what, we've been neighbors for a while, we just want to tell you that we're Christians. We go to the Rock Church down the road. We'd love for you to come with us sometime. Share your faith. Get your eyes on Christ. All right, I'm going to pray. We'll have one more final talk of the afternoon. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your kindness giving us the Great Commission. Thank You, Lord, that You've involved us in Your kingdom work. Thank You, Jesus, that You don't need us. That You don't need us to advance Your kingdom, God. That You don't need us, but You chose to involve us in Your kingdom. You chose to give us purpose and joy and focus and longevity in all of our relationships, in every phase of our life. You chose to involve us, God. Thank You for that. Thank You for giving our lives meaning and purpose. And thank You for giving our marriages lasting joy and eternal purpose. Help us, God, to get better at this. Help me to get better at this. Help my marriage and my family to get better at this. Lord, we need You. We love You. We say these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen.